Hello,
Hello, welcome to another episode of Let's Get You Wed, the Wedding Planning
Woohoo.
Podcast.
Another Thursday.
Yes, we're here again, in your ears, coming in your
Amy.
ears.
I think it'll actually be March as well, and this goes out.
Yeah.
Like, how is, when at the time of recording, it's March in a couple of days. Like, how has that happened?
And it's a leap year as well, isn't it? Only 29 days in February, but I don't know about you.
Yes.
It's felt long. This month has felt long to me.
Oh, no, I feel like it's gone so quick.
Do you? This month
this
has felt longer than
long.
longer than January.
Because you've got a baby. You're
true.
Not sleeping.
That's true. The days are
You're
just
like,
flying
I can't
by.
Remember the last time I went to bed.
What is sleep?
Yeah, that's why. Oh, and it's officially 3 months today until we get married.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, actually, no, less than 3 months till we legally get married, but 3 months until the big wedding
till the big day.
Today.
The big
that
day.
That is scary. That is freaking scary.
It is scary when you think about how long you've, like, been engaged and been, like, planning it for.
I know.
And all of a sudden it's like...
Yeah.
It's here.
Boom, it's here. Yeah. When we were talking before, like when we booked our venue and it was like just over a year to go and you're like, oh, it's ages away. And I remember in like October, November, being like, it's just so long away. I just wanted to be here. And now I'm like,
and it's slow down. I know. All of a sudden it creeps up and you're like, whoa, my gosh.
Yeah.
Time is running out.
Shall we get started?
Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Hannah.
And I'm Hayley.
And we are your wedding planning experts.
Here to spill the tea on the inside of wedding planning and everything that goes with it.
Expect our honest opinions, the real juice of what happens on a wedding day.
With a few tips thrown in between.
And also just a chat between friends.
And of course, make sure you hit that subscribe button. And
let's get you wed!
Woo!
Exciting.
So
how have you been?
Oh, how have I been? I was going to ask you first this time, but
well,
oh, you know. I'll jump on in there.
You go on in there. Your life's more exciting than mine
I
right
don't know
now.
About that. No, it's definitely not. Oh, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. I actually have some wedding chat this week. I've been speaking with a couple about a wedding, an upcoming
nice.
Wedding for the end of summer. So that's exciting.
Nice.
And it was refreshing conversation to have about flowers and not baby
I
poo.
Bet. Yeah, lovely.
So
not people going on to you about babies.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
lovely.
The first question that came out of their mouth was not how much sleep are you getting.
You actually look so good though.
Thanks.
Like, you don't look tired.
Maybe it's like
you. I feel like you're carrying motherhood quite well.
Thanks. I feel like I looked so rough when I was pregnant that life has done me justice since giving birth. It's like, wow, you look so bad. Like, I remember people saying about like the pregnancy glow, and I was like, look, I have no glow. If anything, I have literally got the glow of someone who's getting out of their coffin. Like, literally look like
no,
death.
You look fine. You just look swollen. Yeah,
I
the
was
pregnancy
well
swells.
Do you know what? Right, my lips. Right, they swelled up so bad. I literally looked like I'd had a lip job. Now they've gone back, and I'm like, wow, I could do with some lips.
Miss my lips. Yeah.
I had some great lips, but anyway, enough about that.
Oh,
also,
that's good.
If you can hear drilling, I do live in a terraced house, and the neighbours are drilling into the walls. So sorry about that.
Bet you're loving that with a newborn baby.
Yeah, I'm like, thanks.
Yeah.
So speaking to a couple about a wedding that's at the end of summer, and it's a venue that I work at quite a lot, which is nice as well. So I get recommended there quite a lot, and people see on my Instagram that I work there. So, and they're toying with the idea of having like a really big archway at the entrance, so like a full arch.
What venue is it?
So it's Notley Abbey.
Oh,
yeah,
I like
so it's
it
Oxford,
there.
Oxford Way. It's really nice. Yeah, really nice venue.
So they get married there.
Yeah, so their whole
okay,
day's there.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, they could have the arch all day.
Yeah,
they?
Yeah. So I was
always
before.
Think when you're having, if you're going out for all out for one of those for the arch,
yeah.
and paying out the money for it, like you know, quite a lot of my couples are having when they're at the church.
Yeah,
but then it's like, okay, let's have it at the church, but make sure you've got somewhere to move it to, because sometimes they'll like have a church, then go to a marquee, and it's a bit like, where are you going to put an arch at a marquee?
Yeah. So this is when that in that predicament, what I normally offer is I do like a floral column, so like two freestanding pillars.
Yeah, nice.
And they're weighed down with some heavy weights. Full of flowers. So if you imagine just like a linear structure, it's like full of flower and it kind of curves over, so it'll follow the shape of your doorway at the church, or if you're having separate venue to where you're reception is, and then we can literally come after your ceremony, as you've seen me hide in a bush, wait till your ceremony's finished. Then I creep round with my help and we put them in the van and then take them and reset them up either behind your top table, entrance to your where your wedding breakfast is going to be, or you know, things like that. So they can be moved, but this one will be a won't be able to be moved, so it'll be a structure that we make in situ, like outside the door. So
then it'll be there all day.
It'll be there all day. But like you say, they'll have so they'll have obviously like photos of everybody guests arriving.
Evening guests arriving.
Coming back out for the confetti shot. Yeah. So it'll be worth
it. It's when it's just the church that you don't really make maps. Yeah. You don't do all your photos there, do you?
No, you don't.
Go to your venue and do the rest of
have the rest there, yeah. So
nice.
That'd be a nice one. Yeah, I do enjoy doing an archway, so.
You do like a good archway. And the asymmetrical, is that still all in? Is that what people are asking for?
Yeah, so there's a lot of that. Do you know what it is? It's a lot of time people have seen it on Pinterest, whether you have like the asymmetrical style. So it kind of lends itself to that natural kind of boho vibe. I quite like it. It's like a deconstructed arch, basically. But you just can't go wrong with like a big, full all over arch. Like, I just love it.
They're a lot more difficult to do, though, aren't they?
They are, yeah. So if your venue hasn't got somewhere where we can attach to, so if you imagine like the top of like a doorway and it's got like a stone surround, something like that, sometimes they'll have like nails and things that we can kind of attach to. But if your venue doesn't and you want one, we have to actually make a framework. Otherwise, you know, we can't literally hang it in midair. Yeah. No. So that is definitely like if you're having florals and you want like an archway, it's something you need to consider. Has my church or my venue got something to for my florist to attach to? Are you allowed to? Is the venue listed? Because in cases good like point. That, like I say, we can bring the pillars and we can make like a deconstructed kind of arch, and we can we can create something for you. Otherwise, we would
I think
just,
it's so important, isn't it, to like get your florist to go and have a look though, because like we did that, we had a couple that we worked with last year, absolutely lovely, but they wanted these like clouds hanging from the top of almost they were like the top of teepee hats, weren't they? It was like a cover, like a cover over a terrace, but they were pointed tops, but there was literally like nowhere to hang them from. But obviously in their head, like, they're not going to think about things, and then you look at it and you're like, yeah, where am I going to hang that from, and how is it going to hang, because there's a post in the way, like
exactly. And sometimes it's just not feasible, even in the best, like even with the best will in the world, if I wanted to do it for you, like if I can't like physically do it for you, I have to say it's not going to happen. But
it's not going to look right. But so I think always get that advice before you get your heart set on it, because she had her heart set on these clouds, didn't she, and it was just not possible at all.
No,
obviously you still created her an amazing cloud.
I did, which we
thought of an alternative.
We did. That's the thing, we'll always come up with an alternative for you, you know, like a plan B, always, you know, make sure you're happy. But yeah, so that was my week. That's
lovely.
My week and wedding week.
Your wedding week around babying.
Yes. And how was your week? Yes. How have you been?
Yeah, it's good. It's definitely been quieter this week for meetings, because it's half term.
Oh,
so
of course,
fine. Like, even though my couples don't really have kids, like suppliers and stuff kind of avoid this week.
Yeah.
So I got stuck with a lot of boring admin, you know.
Wedmin.
Focusing on, you know, all the boring back end accounts bits and, you know, all those kind of things. I've been booking some site visits as well. So it's really important for us. So a part of our on the day service, we go and do a site visit. Kind of, we try and do it like 3 to 6 months before the day. We'll go onto site. We do a lot of at home weddings. So in their own land normally, or parents' land, or if it's in venue, we'll go to the venue. So we just go along, have a little look, see, you know, the logistics. And there's always, I had actually had a call with a lady today who said to me, I don't need the site visit. And I was like, the thing is, the site visit's really important for us, first of all, because we want to see where everything's going. We want to know, we want to be able to rock up on the day and just be like, yep, that's going there, that's going there. And actually, when I first started out, I didn't used to include a site visit, but I used to like just be a bit nervous, like thinking to myself, okay. And you know, when you're talking about the venue to a couple and they're trying to explain it, and you're like, you can't remember.
It's not quite the same, is it? Yeah.
Whereas if I've been there, I'm like, yep, I know what you're talking about, you know. And also, it's so important, because especially with our on the day service, the idea is that you hire us as an event management team. So you've already planned, you're planning your own wedding. We're not involved in the planning, we're just managing it. So we do tend to find from the site of visit, there's a lot of things that people haven't thought about.
Yeah.
Like things like logistics, where people are going to drop off, power, you know, is there water near the toilets? You know, all these little things that you're not going to think
about.
They're
like little things that get over, they're like oversights if you don't.
Yeah, but become huge. Like if you haven't got access to water for your toilets, like if the flush runs out, you can't flush your toilets, you know, and that's quite a big thing. You don't really want unflushed toilets at your wedding.
No, you don't.
So yeah, I think they're really important. So yeah, we've been getting those booked in. I've got a wedding fair this week. It will say wedding fair open evening at the Bodleian Libraries in Oxford, where we're
lovely
planner.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my favourite venues, love it. So yeah, looking forward to that.
Missed doing a wedding fair, you know. Haven't done one in a while. I think it was this time last year I did a wedding fair the last time.
Yeah, see, I don't really do them. I'm not a fan, I'm not going to lie.
No. Oh, no, fair enough. Well, for me, I can showcase my work, you see. So it's a bit of, like, I can take
it's good
actual
for you. For me, it's like, and also, piece. People, it depends. It's different for, like, the Bodleian, for example, because it's the kind of venue you need to have a coordinator on site on the day. So a lot of the people that are coming are looking for that kind of service. So that's great for us. And also, it's really different to, like, a wedding fair. All the suppliers are only allowed a poser table, and they basically tell you to not bring stuff. They're like, just come. It's all about the chats. It's all about the conversations, which I love that. Whereas,
that's
I'm
good
just
for you.
Not a big fan of the old traditional wedding fairs, you know.
That must be difficult for someone, like, if you were a florist going there, how you would... But obviously, you'd have your portfolio. But, I mean, in some ways, I guess, like, you're not like, I know if I do like a wedding fair and you've got like another florist there and you're kind of looking at everyone's work, like someone's gone way out and they've spent like loads of money and their stand looks incredible.
Yeah.
And yours, like, you might have not decided to perhaps make
a bit worrying.
So I guess it kind of puts everyone on an even playing field in some ways.
Exactly. Like, it's great. And also, cool. Well, they have a table set up in the room. So I think the florist does some bits on there. But because it's all their recommended suppliers, there's only really like a couple of each. Anyway, I think there might even only be one florist. So she'll do like the centerpieces on the tables.
Oh, I
so
see.
She can still show her work off.
Yeah. Oh, that's
yeah, so it's
nice.
More like a setup. The room is set up and then it's just poser tables dotted about. And then, you know, we're all there to have a chat. So yeah, it's quite nice.
Oh, well, I hope
it
goes well. Hope you get a lot of inquiries.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, and so this year, this weekend, we had our first wedding of the year.
Exciting!
It was very exciting. It was a really nice day. They sent me a lovely message yesterday to say thank you, which that's why we do it, isn't it?
Yeah, I love
it. We do it for the
thank
thanks.
Exactly.
Literally. So obviously we talked about it in the last episode, or maybe the one before that, we were talking about obviously the service of the food. So I thought I'd give you the lowdown on how it went.
Can we just keep talking about food in every episode? Now we're recording this the evening.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten dinner yet.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna get hangry again.
I'm just gonna get hangry.
And you've been for a
run.
I've got no excuse. I just can't stop eating it.
Yeah, I have been for a run, so I've got a red nose. It went a lot better than it would have done if we'd have kept it how it was. It still took us a lot. It took us longer than I envisaged initially.
Yeah.
I think just because of like their time of being able to get it out the ovens, essentially. Because
this is the
pizza
van. Yeah.
So they could do three pizzas at a time. And to be fair, they had a really good system going. They'd already like part cooked them. So they were just almost like warming
them
through. But we were still kind of waiting around to take pizza. I just don't know for that many people. I mean, the guests loved it and they were all happy. Like, nobody was like, oh, when are we getting our food? When, you know, they all got served quick and then we were just topping up.
Yeah.
But so I don't think people, and to be honest, they were a really good crowd. They were all, there was 150 people and they were all just chatting away. They were all having a great day, all of them. So I think we had a good bunch of people. So no one really noticed. But for me, it was like, I was constantly trying to like, keep up time-wise, you know, oh, we need to get this speech going, we need to get this going, we need to, you know, because I'm always conscious of the time, especially as, so we'd already had a turnaround, so it was basically one big space, no other rooms, just one room, huge room. So we had the ceremony in there, we then had to set up the wedding breakfast completely from scratch, so roll all the tables out, linen
on. So what sort of venue was it, like, what was it, like a house or a...
No, it's okay. called the Ecology Pavilion in London. So it's almost like a big, I don't want to call it a warehouse. It's like, it's got full glass windows, floor to ceiling, all along the front. And it's just like one big, like, warehousey kind of space.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, it's all about, like, you know, they're all about the environment and, you know, everything's recycled. And it's so cool because you can walk onto the roof. All the roof is, like, grassed.
I'm looking it up now because I really want to see. It sounds amazing.
Yeah. It's nice. It's really, like, vibey, quite industrial. Like, you can see the pipes and stuff in the ceiling. But, yeah, really nice. But it's just one space. So, yeah, so we set up the
wedding
breakfast. It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then we had to clear a space. So I kept a space ready for the band to set up. But that's the biggest kind of space I could do. But obviously, you got 150 people.
Yeah.
So at the end of the meal, before I could do the first dance, we had to strip away six tables minimum to be able to get everybody on to do the first dance. So I did that. Then as they were doing the first dance, we were then stripping, while everyone was concentrating on that, we were then stripping back more tables. So yeah, I was just very conscious of time.
Yeah. But you're always like trying to like keep it going, like being quite good.
I did rushed all day.
Yeah.
I didn't stop. I swear, Hayley, it was hard work.
Proper graft.
Do you know what? we didn't stop. And Chloe, and we had another girl come in, Stevie, in the afternoon for a couple of hours. We didn't stop all day. So yeah, but what is really nice is when the couple text me the next day, they were like, all we wanted was an informal, fun party, everyone to have a bit of food, everyone to have a nice drink. And that's what we got. And I'm so glad that they got what they wanted because
that's so
what
important.
They didn't see was how much hard, like for us, that was
your hard work that went into it.
On paper, that was an easy wedding. Yeah. Because they wanted a pizza van. They wanted everyone to get pierced up basically and dance to the band. But for us, it was real hard work.
Like,
and I just always think, me and Chloe were talking at the end of the night. We're like, what would they have done if they didn't hire us?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, obviously, I was speaking last couple of episodes back, or like, obviously, I've been to weddings where they haven't had coordinators. Now, that can be normal. Like, I'm not saying there's no shade against people if they don't, but I just think to myself, how is this day running? You know what I mean? Otherwise, you put in, like, they would have so much stress. They would not have had the day that they had you have not been there, or they had had that, you know, that guidance. I mean, it would have, like you say, you
it's
were
very
like,
true.
You, I mean, there's three of you and you're all like running around getting it all
done. Honestly, it was a lot.
Organising it and like, yeah.
And I was speaking to the guy at the venue at the end. So the venue managers there are purely key holders. They won't even move a box.
Yeah.
Like at one point he was like, there's a box in front of the fire exit. And we were like, can you just move it there? Because we're like in the middle of rolling tables around.
Unbelievable. Sometimes.
He was like, no, we can't move it.
Oh my God.
Like, okay.
That's a joke.
Yeah, one of them. I said to them, oh, like, what do they normally get, like, people in, or, like, do you know they normally hire coordinators, or what happens? He was like, no, the family just do it and help them. And I was like, sorry, what?
Oh, you're like, sorry.
Like,
breaks out into
that.
A cold sweat.
I know, right? So we were on site at 9 a.m. We were on site till 1 a.m. and I did 35,000 steps. And that was a lot because... Yeah. Normally, when it's just one space, obviously it's only one room, so you're not like, one of my friends asked me, oh, you're gonna do loads of steps, and I said it's not normally bad when everything's in, you know, when there's a church and then you've got to run around the church and then come back and you're running, or if it's a site that's massive, or if you've got like a stately home and you've got to go up and down stairs, then you do a lot. But it's a wedding like that, you don't normally do as many steps, so that really shows
what you were doing.
How much we were doing.
Yeah,
so it was a lovely day. They had a really nice time, which is lovely.
Well, they were pleased, Maz, and obviously, you know, got a really nice message the next day as well, so
exactly, yeah,
makes it work.
But yeah, so just to explain a little more about why, you know, we were rolling tables and stuff away. So the venue that they had is what you would class as a dry hire venue. So a dry hire venue, so I just wanted to explain a little bit about how that's different. So essentially all you are doing is hiring the space, so the ground. So when you walk into the venue in the morning, it's literally an empty space, and then at the end of the night you have to be off site by 1 a.m. and the empty space, it needs to be an empty space again.
Yeah.
So you need to leave it
how you found it. Yeah.
But like an Airbnb, do you know what I mean? But there's no, like, you know, and again, like an Airbnb, there's no reception, you know, in an Airbnb, there's no receptionist, no waitress. And it's essentially the same.
It's nothing, it's just the venue. You just get literally
And then you have a guy with a key.
Yeah.
Yeah, a guy with a key, making sure no one starts a fire, you know, making sure that he's normally checking like the sound limiter and stuff. Yeah, so in terms of they won't get involved at all with any of the venue, you are purely just hiring the space. And it's the same with land. We class that as a dry hire venue. So you're just hiring the land. When you're literally hiring the floor and you get it as it comes and you have to leave it as it comes. So they don't have like coordinators, event managers. So that's when our service is key, because having a wedding without a coordinator, it's just ridiculous. Like, if you have a dry hire venue, or you're having an at-home wedding or a marquee wedding on land, like, a coordinator should be up there as part of your budget. And I'm not just saying this because I am a coordinator, because I've hired one for my own wedding as well.
Yeah.
You know, that should be up there with like photographer and wedding dress. Like, that is key.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't expect to not hire a caterer. Should be the same with a coordinator. And I don't think people are getting that message yet of how important it is until either closer to the time.
Because otherwise it falls down to what people don't realise. It literally is your responsibility. Like, if you're the bride and groom, you've not got anywhere, you're going to have to be doing the organising. Or you're going to have to get all of your bridesmaids and your groomsmen to be doing it. And let's be honest, that takes away from that. Well, I know at the end of the day, I feel like if you're going to have like bridesmaids, groomsmen, they're there to enjoy the day with you. They're not there as your like staff.
They're not staff. We're staff. Like, look how we did 35,000 steps on Saturday. Like, and actually the groomsman said to me, oh, we've been told we're on like table help duty. Do you need any help? I was like, absolutely not. Look at me. And where the tables were like dusty and dirty, which they always are, like, I was just covered in like dust. I was like, there's no way you're touching a table. It's dirty work. You get hot, you get sweaty.
Yeah.
Your hands are covered, you're dirty. Like, it just is what it is, but we're used to it.
Yeah,
there's a knack to things like rolling tables and
all these things you just don't think about. It's covered by coordinator.
Yeah. And I remember when they booked me and they were like, I can't remember if it was the bride or groom, one of them was like, I don't feel like we really need it. Like, I feel like our friends could do it. And I'm like, when I look at that day, there is no way. Because you need like someone to be accountable, right?
Yeah. So
one person who everybody has their number for, you know, if they rock up and they can't find the location or they don't know where to park, one person, it's the same with everything in life, isn't it? You always need a leader or a manager.
Yeah,
or
someone that's like leading the ship. Know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So if you haven't got that, like, what would have happened on Saturday? Like,
oh my gosh.
I just, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Perish the thought.
Actually,
I had a question for you.
Yeah.
So I hope you don't mind me asking. So this has come from an avid listener, who's also my sister-in-law. And she...
hello, sister-in-law.
Hello. So she wanted to know, actually, how much she should budget for a wedding coordinator, a wedding planner. So I wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah.
So I said, I think it depends on, like, obviously your different people charge a different price, but I didn't know if it worked like a percentage.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know if you could shed some light on that, just so people kind of know maybe what they should think of budgeting for a wedding planner.
So our service includes a site visit and your final meeting, contact with all your suppliers. So you get a copy of our wedding plan, we send that to all the suppliers, so you get quite a bit involved.
Yeah.
And then the 12 hours on the day, and we charge, and you can extend that to the end of the night if you want. Our package is 1500. I would say the absolute cheapest you can get a coordinator, but it might be that they don't include a site visit or whatever, I wouldn't want to pay less than 1,000 because it probably means that they're not as experienced. And I would say I see some people in the industry pay 2,000-2,500.
Okay.
Charge 2,000-2,500. But they are probably more like planners, as in they only want to do planning. So they really want to do the on the day coordination. Whereas ours is set up a bit different. We do both. So a lot of planners just want to focus on planning.
Yeah.
So they charge a big amount. And also some planners don't feel comfortable getting involved, I've been doing this a long time. I've been managing weddings for like 15 years. So I'm comfortable to just rock up on the day and follow someone's plan and manage the wedding, because that's what I've worked in operations before. So I am used to doing that. Whereas some planners want to get involved from 6 weeks before. So they'll have a meeting with you 6 weeks before and then they'll take over.
Yeah.
So that's why it's more money. But so yeah, I would say to budget around like the 1,000 to 1,500 mark.
Okay, so, yeah. That's good to know.
Get in touch with us, sister-in-law.
Yeah.
We'll do a let's get you wed sister-in-law deal.
You know the score.
You know the score. But it's the same with anything, isn't it? Like, you know, paying that bit more for like a reputable wedding florist.
Yeah.
It's the same with us.
There's reasons
why. You
know,
why. Like you want to pay a bit more.
Yeah.
To get, yeah.
You wouldn't go for the cheaper part. You shouldn't. You shouldn't go for someone that's like, if someone's really cheap, if you get a few quotes in, like give 3 or 4 quotes, right, and someone's coming like real cheap, I mean, don't go there, because there's
always
reason
think if you
why
think, wow, this
is cheap. Yeah, yeah.
I always think if you think cheap to yourself, wow, this is cheap.
Yeah.
And I see it a lot on Facebook groups where people like post quotes like, does anyone think this is too cheap? And everyone's like, oh my god, that's a really good price.
Yeah.
We paid this, we paid this. It's always like this whole thing, and I'm like, there's a reason it's
yeah
cheap.
There's always a reason. Generally, it's down to lack of experience. And that is going to come and
yeah
bite you in the arse, probably on your wedding day. So you don't want that.
Hugely.
You need to, yeah, do your research.
No.
And, yeah, get a few quotes to get like a good idea of what you should be paying. But yeah, that was just interesting to know. I just wondered, or she definitely wondered anyway, like how much it would be. And I kind of did as well, I guess. Obviously, I kind of know, but I didn't know if different planners charge a different amount. And like, obviously, like you say, you explained what you kind of get.
Yeah, just like, I'd say, like I say, for an experience is probably around like the 1500 mark, but for a planner who gets involved a little bit more or doesn't really do many, they'll be, you know, you'll need it, you know, it's a bit like how long's be string, but yeah
fair enough. Well, I've actually so I've seen an article today, and I wanted to discuss this between us both. So popped up not too long ago from the BBC, and it really, I just really wanted to bring it up here. So basically, it was a photographer saying about the attitude of the people. So I'm going to say, like, what do you call them? I want to say priests. No, they're not priests, are they? Vicars.
Vicars
and things like in the churches.
I love this topic.
Right, yeah. So I knew that. Oh, yes. Yeah, what do you call them? It is a vicar, isn't it? Yeah. Sorry, I don't know why it's a priest. That's American.
Or vicar,
priest,
or reverend, vicar, reverend, or a
father.
I think it depends. I think it depends on the religion, if I'm honest.
Basically.
Or like on the, you know, is it Church of England?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not religious, so I don't really know, but I think it depends on the church.
Yeah. Well, church going people anyway, or whatever we're going to call them. So basically, on a TikTok went pretty viral a couple of days ago. Where basically a reverend is being recorded by the photographer being really rude to her in front of like a whole church of guests. So a bit of background here, if you don't know, is generally when you do any kind of wedding work in a church, so if you're a photographer, videographer, florist, wedding planner, anyone that's go and manage your wedding in a church,
they fucking hate it.
Basically,
as fate they
really do. They literally, you couldn't be any more of an inconvenience to them if you tried. Like, they literally hate you.
Yeah,
but it's gone viral because this reference.
Other than that wedding we did last year.
Yes, so
sorry,
this is,
just to go completely off piece.
No.
He was so nice.
Yeah,
isn't he? He's probably the nicest.
Oh my god, he offered. He made me coffee. He made me coffee. Literally,
he did.
He was great, and he knew I was pregnant, and he was like, "Oh, I'm so like interested," and he was like, "Oh, you know, make sure you don't do it. Can I help in any way?" And but the fact that he just made me a coffee was enough for me to think, he was different to the rest.
He was decent, but yeah. it is very rare that happens.
Yeah, it's very rare. Yeah, so basically what it is they've started like and you can sign it as just to start a conversation, basically about how I don't know what I don't want
to
call them like reverends, but then obviously I just want to say I'm just going to call them like church going people, okay? So that's I don't know what else to
vicar.
Call them. Vicar. I just keep trying to say I want to keep saying father, and it's really odd, and I don't know why. I'm like, this is so funny.
Father. That's because a lot of them are like Father Richard,
Father Richard.
Yeah. Is
anyway,
but this is so true, because I've had so many instances where
me too, so I really wanted to like talk about this
rude.
Because what I think couples don't realize as well is basically what it is if you're, especially for photographers, videographers, they literally don't want them to be seen, they don't want them getting in the way, they'll like limit what they can and can't film, like you know, and it's the same with me. Yeah. People want me to put flowers everywhere. What they don't realize is some of the areas in a church are like sacred and you can't touch them. And I've had no end of like trouble yeah. where you go to like, oh, this is where a site visit obviously again comes in to play here. Like if I, you know, you go and you meet with the father, the vicar, the reverend and the couple, and yeah. this all needs to be discussed at the church with them because they can be incredibly difficult.
Yeah,
they will stop you doing anything you want to do.
So difficult.
And this is what this petition's about, is yeah. I basically want to open a conversation where they can sort of be a little bit more lenient, a little bit more friendly to people, because people are coming to get married, and these days
yes.
these days couples want to have like their wedding filmed, like, do you know what I mean? They want it all on camera. There was some nice yeah. pictures. And they're basically, like, I think one lady exactly. came away and she'd only taken one photo of the whole service because the vicar had been so funny with her about what she could Whoa. Do. And, like, the couple were like, so what the hell? Awful. And they were like, look, oh, you know, what can I do? But that's the extent that they'll go to. But I just think...
But you know what as well? I've had this conversation with people before and they're, like, really baffled. They're like, but... that just surprised me because churches are supposed to be like yeah. you know, really nice places to oh, go yeah. and really like open and inclusive and yes. welcoming, and I'm like, they absolutely they are not like I actually know quite a few planners who refuse to take bookings where the couple want to have a church because yeah. they're like, I cannot work with them because they're so awful.
I've worked with some awful
I had a my worst reference. One it was back in like 2021 I think it was. And the vicar or the reverend or the
father,
it was a woman, so it wasn't a father.
Oh,
she I was with the groom and the groom was like, oh, let me introduce you to the vicar. And I was like, okay, fab. So she takes me along, considering I'd already been in touch to introduce myself as well, which was even more annoying. And he was like, oh, this is Hannah. And she went, and who's Hannah? To him, oh. This is the groom as well, right? Who's Hannah? He said, oh, she's our wedding planner. She's managing the rest of our wedding, blah, 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 blah. And she looked at me and she went, well, you won't be managing anything around here. And oh, I was like, and me and the groom just kind of looked at each other and she just stomped off. And then later on, I was just having a chat with the photographer at the back. This is before anything had started. The guests are just coming in. And she struts on over and she was like, what do you think you're doing? I was like, what? Sorry. And she was like,
excuse me.
You can't be running around here, running around my, trying to, taking over. And I was like, oh no, I'm just literally having a chat with a photographer.
I'm just stood here.
And she was like,
minding my own business.
She was just, honestly, she was like, don't be running. In the end, I just walked off. I was yeah. like, I'm not being spoken to like that. Like,
I don't blame
honestly,
you.
She was vile. And afterwards, the groom was like, I am so sorry yeah. that she, yeah, so I haven't seen this video. So what's in it?
Yeah, so basically, it's a photographer and she's, like you were just explaining, the attitude and the way that the reverend spoke to you, that's how they speak to her, sort of wow. like this same attitude and then
it's probably the same church,
probably is, yeah, it's just it's terrible. And I just thought I really wanted to bring it up because I've just seen it and it's Definitely. So relevant. And I know, like, I've done so many church weddings and I've had so much stick from, and it is like they talk to you like you're a piece of shit on their shoe, like they really do.
They do.
Like, they really get all Literally. High and almighty, like.
Yeah, but I was lucky last year, like we did the one together in Surrey. I had one in Cambridge. He was lovely. That was an amazing church, Holy Trinity Church in central Cambridge, but they were really yeah. young and they were just like the nicest people. But I normally tend to find out that the village churches, they are older and
yeah.
they do just look at you like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know totally. What you're doing because you're young, which really infuriates me. Yeah. But that guy in the one we did was lovely. So, so
yeah,
lovely.
Yeah, he was really nice.
He actually like gave me the shivers a little bit. So,
oh, what's that? Oh my God, this is Jesus. So he's here with me.
Honestly, like, I'm not religious at all, right? But we went to the church rehearsal the night before, and when he turned up, I was on the phone. And at that time, we'd had a nightmare buying a house, so we'd sold our house, and we kept having every time we bought a house, it was falling through. And then we got to the point where the day that I was doing this wedding, we'd actually seen two houses put in offers on both, and we got accepted on both.
Oh.
So I was on the phone to my other half, like, what do we do? Like, we need to make this decision. And anyway, as he's then walking towards me up the path, obviously he hasn't heard my conversation because he's quite far away. And I was like, I've got to go to my other half because I could see that he was coming and I wanted to say hello.
Yeah.
So I put the phone down and he said to me, oh, hello, are you okay? And he said, you're buying a house, aren't you? I said,
what?
Sorry. He said, "You're buying a house. You look stressed. You're buying a house." I was like, "Oh, I was really." And he said, "Go." I know. And he said, "Go have a chat with," and I can't remember. I'm not religious, so I don't know. It was like Jacob or Joseph. I don't know. He said, "Go have a chat with him. The statue over there. Go have a chat with him. He always knows what to do. He'll let you know what to do. He'll guide you on your path." Like, really, like, chilled like this, and he literally just walked off.
Oh my god!
And later, I said to him, at the end, I said, "How did you know I was buying a house?" And he said, "I could just tell. You look. He kind of laughed it off again. He was like, "You looked stressed, so I knew," kind of thing.
No,
it's always stressed when you're on the phone to the estate agent. And I was just like, and again, he just kind of walked off, and I was like, no. So I actually went over to this statue and was a bit like,
that's crazy.
Like, just kind of looking, but thinking, like, I don't know what to do. And then the house that I was on the phone about when I was in that church is the house I'm sitting in now.
Oh my gosh, that is so
after 12
weird.
Months of problems.
Yeah,
isn't that mental?
That is a bit. Oh my god, that makes me feel weird.
I know. That's like... And I'm not religious, but that was...
Wee-wee-wee-wee.
Yeah. The fact that he knew it just freaked
that
me
is,
out.
I'm trying to think now if he said anything to me. He didn't. He just made me a coffee. He obviously read my mind, knew I needed it.
Was he like, "The baby's going to be called Lily"?
Oh yeah, he was like, "And she will be born on the 26th of January." And I was like, whoa.
After your blood pressure is high. Yeah. I wonder if he said to you, like, "Don't get high blood pressure."
Yeah. He's like, "How's your blood pressure, Hayley?" And I'm like, "Whoa, how did you know?" Go and talk to Joseph.
Yeah, I
about
need to
it.
Check this video out because it's so
yeah,
true.
Yeah, so
I've had some horrible experiences.
So that's just one for couples out there. If you're getting married in a church, make sure you just explain to them either who your like suppliers are going to be there on the day, and try and just, you know, ask if there's any restrictions, because otherwise it might come as a bit of a surprise when
because they don't always preempt it, do they?
And then they're not always very easy to get hold of either, like,
no, they're really not.
They don't reply to emails. They're not really at the drop of, you know, they don't reply to a WhatsApp or BRB being holy.
BRB being holy. Yeah, no, that's very true. No, I'll look into that. That's good. I'll share that on the old socials.
Yeah. So, oh, sorry. Go on. Listeners' questions.
Yeah, should we go on to the listeners' questions and messages?
Yeah, so...
Fab, do you want to go first?
Yeah, this one's a good one, actually. So, who should be on the top table?
Woo,
so, I mean, sometimes you might have a sweetheart table, which is where it's just bride and groom.
Yeah, just two of you. So... If we're talking traditions, right, way back. So traditionally, it's bridegroom, both sets of parents, and the best man. So you have seven, which really infuriates me because then it's
not
odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. But way, way, way back when, the parents used to, so the mother of the groom would sit next to the groom, and then I always get confused.
It's like opposite, isn't it?
Yeah. And then I've got that wrong already.
Mother of the bride sits next to the groom. Father of the bride sits next to
the bride.
And then you have mother of the
groom sits next to the brother of the mother of the bride. That's and the mother it. Of the mother groom sits next to the father of the bride. Yeah, so you like switch it
I was
up,
trying to think of my word
which
in.
Actually, I've seen that around a little bit again lately, because where if you have got divorced parents, that actually works quite well, because then they've got to sit next to each other.
Yeah, I think...
But it then swapped years later, so the tradition was just both, you know, the father of the bride, father of the groom sat next to each other, and then father of the groom, mother of the groom sat next to each other.
So we had we had it like the traditional way, but because Richard's parents aren't together, but they get on, but they were sat together on the top table, but because we had the best man, so we had eight, so it ended up being even, so we had like both our parents.
Who was your other person?
So we had, I think we did have seven. I think I'm talking out my ass. So yes, it was me, Richard, Richard's mum, Richard's dad, my mum, and then best man.
Best man, yeah.
Oh, sorry, it's seven. Why did I think we had eight? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
But I also just think, right, if you don't want to sit next to your parents, you think that's going to be boring. You've got to sit with them for like 2.5 hours. Just have who you want. I've seen people like have friends' tables, so they'll have like their bridesmaids, their best man, or their groomsmen, or whatever on their top table. Parents then go onto the main tables with, you know, because sometimes the parents want to sit with the grandparents or the aunties or whatever. I just think like keep it chilled now. But what I will say is don't have any more than like 10 people on your top table, because then it just gets ridiculous. And also, if you've got 50 guests, don't have 10 people on your top table, because that's a fifth of your guests.
Yeah, that's true. Also,
do that before. Do you know what? Way back when.
We've gone way back.
When I first started in the industry, I was working in a hotel. I'd only been doing it for like a year. And this couple, they had like 40 guests. And we did a V-shaped top table for them that had 25 people on it.
Sorry?
And then they had three round tables with eight people on each. Because they couldn't pick their top table.
Yeah, so actually, this goes in nicely to if you have got like some family frictions or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because like my friend got married, and I know she obviously, like, she wanted a mum and dad on the top table. I don't think they quite get on, and I think there was quite a bit of like issues there, and I think it made it awkward for her to kind of like choose, and things like that can come up, and like, but at the end of the day, you've got to remember it's your wedding. And in that situation, I'd try, well, it'll just be me and my other half on the top table, we have a sweetheart table, then you don't worry about anything.
100%, or go down the friend route, or just have you two, and then you're like maid of honor and your best man, the four of you. That could be quite
That's nice.
But yeah, but I do think it's like awkward, because like if you get on with all your step parents, like that could be. Yeah. Like if you've got like four parents on each side, that's like eight.
That's it.
That's a lot of people.
Lot.
I also think it's sometimes quite weird with the best man situation as well, because I think that like it depends on the situation, but like I've been to weddings before where my other half's best man, and I don't really know anyone there, and then I'm kind of sat at the table like
I know what you mean. That's a bit awkward, isn't it?
But I do think as well, like, I used to always advise, like, always make sure, like, the people that are doing the speeches are on the top table. But I actually don't think it's necessary, because it is easy for them to get up. And, like, with our wedding, you're obviously making a lovely masterpiece on the fireplace. Voila. So we're going to do us, you hope. We're going to do our speeches in front of the fireplace. So we're actually going to get up from our places and go and stand in front of there. So actually, I don't think it is a necessity, because they can just stand. And actually, it's quite nice for them to not be standing behind a place setting.
You don't have to do what you think, like, is normal, like the tradition. You don't have to. No, you're not...
I've actually got a wedding this year where the hall, like the great hall, is stunning. So like you've got like the great hall, and then the dining room is just off of it. So what we're going to do is have a flute on all the place settings, go around, pour the champagne, then ask everybody to like pick up their glass, leave, go into the great hall. It's got this stunning massive staircase, and they're going to stand on the staircase and do their speeches.
Amazing.
Because I just think, like, why would we not make more out of this use of this space?
Yeah, absolutely. You
know? And then it goes straight then into the party as well, so we can get the tables cleared down. Yeah. And then, lovely.
It's all like...
So, I said, you know, we did a wedding last year, actually, that did that. Went, moved into a different room, and everybody was standing with their Prosecco.
That's
nice, actually.
That's a bit different.
So, that's our answer to that. That's the tradition, if you want to do the tradition.
If you want to follow it. But if not, here's some more ideas for you. Mull it over.
Next up, we've got, is it cheeky to ask my bridesmaids to pay for their dresses? Now, I have a very strong opinion.
I agree.
You go first.
Yeah, I think it is cheeky to ask them to pay for their dresses.
I do not.
If you're going to ask someone to be a bridesmaid, I feel like you should be paying for their dress, 100%. At least. Why are you asking them otherwise? You've now got to pay money out.
Exactly. I always use this analogy of, you wouldn't ask somebody to come round your house for dinner or come round for a barbecue or something and then be like, oh, you need to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
you are
asking them to do something, right? Yeah. And let's face it, they're going to be buying a dress that they're not just going to be able to wear out like on holiday or out on the street or wear again.
Yeah.
You're going to be telling them the colour. So it's not like they can just go and buy like an everyday or an evening dress that they'd wear out again in the colour that they want. So why should they be paying for it?
Can I just say, if you're getting married and you can afford to pay for a wedding, then I do feel like you should have budgeted for your wedding 100%. Bridesmaids' dresses.
Yeah.
And if not, then don't have bridesmaids. You don't have to. If you're worried about it as an extra cost, and that's absolutely, you're well within your rights. If you don't want to have that expenditure, you just don't have bridesmaids.
Don't have bridesmaids. Exactly. And I also think, like, the way that I always think of it is, if you're asking them to do something in particular, then you need to pay for it. So, for example, like, I don't care what shoes my bridesmaids are wearing. So I'm like, wear whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly don't care. Like, as long as they kind of match, but they're not stupid, they're going to want them to match. They're going to want to look nice. Same with jewellery. I don't care what you wear. So feel free, rock on, wear whatever you want. But if I'm saying to people, like, no, you have to wear a pearl necklace, like, I should be buying that because I'm stipulating it. The only thing I'd say with dresses is alterations. I think maybe they can cover themselves by the time you've paid for the dress and stuff. You know, it's not a huge cost. It's, you know, like £20 to alter a dress. Whereas when, you know, if you're just getting the bottom taken up, if you've got, like, you know, a few bridesmaids, that does add up for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think about it? Did you cover your bridesmaids alterations?
I did, yeah. I paid for their alterations. I budgeted for it. Because again, I just didn't feel like I wanted them to have to cover that cost. Otherwise they could have gone anywhere and got a dress and then got one that fitted them from like ASOS in their size. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But I went to a bridesmaid's dress, website, and obviously they're never right, are they? Then it's not like buying a dress. Like I say, it's not like buying a dress online, like in your size 12 or 14 or whatever.
No.
They always need to be altered. So I just factored that in, and because they always end up being really long.
They are. So
even
long.
With heels on. So they all had to have some taken up. And I just wanted them to feel comfortable and stuff. So
yeah,
it was something I did budget for. But obviously, sometimes.
I was a bit the opposite. I was like, just get a dress off ASOS. I don't care. So it was just like the right colour. But they were the opposite. No, we want these nice bridesmaid dresses. Oh. I'm like, damn you. I wanted to get one.
Damn it.
In the Oasis sale.
Yeah. You guys have got too good taste.
Yeah, like literally. But it's fair enough, you know. But yeah, I think it's really cheeky.
Yeah, it is. Sorry, but you're
an
arsehole.
And do you know what really winds me up is when I've seen this, like, being a bridesmaid myself previously and, you know, having friends that get married, and it's when they don't they're not like, I'd love you to be bridesmaid, but FYI, there's going to be these costs involved. And you go out dress shopping and stuff, and then suddenly it's like, oh yeah, this is how much it's going to cost you. And you're like, sorry, what?
Yeah, yeah.
When did that come up? You know?
Yeah, that's mental.
I think that's really rude. I think if you're going to expect people to pay for stuff, like,
it needs to be,
like,
on
be upfront about it.
Yeah, be upfront, and then it needs to be on their terms and what they can afford, because you can't expect someone to then go and get a dress that you were envisioning some kind of, like, amazing, I don't know, like, really expensive style, and they can't afford that. And if that's what you want, you should pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's the same with, like, hair and makeup, though, isn't it? I think, you know, it's fine to be like, if you want your hair and makeup done, this is the, you know, I've got some quotes, this is the price. But if you're saying you need to have your hair and makeup done, you need to pay for it.
Yeah, you do.
But I also think, like, I see so much of this as well, where they're like, you know, the bridesmaids can pay for their hair and makeup, but then on the day they go and buy them pajamas and personalised Prosecco glasses and personalised hangers. And I think
they could have just used that money on
the... You might as well just... Yes,
yeah, exactly.
We've had a ranty one today, haven't we?
We have. Bridesmaids. It felt good.
Vickers.
Fathers.
All right then, guys. Well, thank you so much. We'll see you again next week.
Yes, thank you for listening. And you can follow us on socials. It's at Let's Get You Wed Podcast. Email us with any listener questions at letsgetyouwedpodcast@gmail.com. We love to hear all of your questions. Get those in.
Amazing. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye.